new series. We're starting a new series today. You in 5 years. I'm excited about this series. I think it's going to be challenging for some of us. It's going to be encouraging for some of us. But we're going to get some good stuff out of this. I think as we go along, we're going to look at that and go, we're glad that we started 2025 with a series like this. And here we are, 2025. Quick question for you. How many of you have, put away that New Year's resolution and you're done with it already? Come on. Let's be honest. No one wants to admit it, eh? Because Doug talked about it last week, and he talked about now that they have this Quitting Friday. They call it Quitting Friday now because people make these resolutions, and by, I don't know, the next Friday or whatever it was, you're done. You're like, oh, that's not really what I wanted to do with my life. And so I'm sure some of you have gotten there. I have my New Year's resolution. It has to do with electronics and where I'm taking them with me, and we won't go farther than that. You don't need to know where I don't want to have my phone with me anymore. But you can guess. New year. We all have goals. We all have goals. We all have plans. We all have dreams. We all have hopes for the future. There's things that we want to start in the new year. There's things that we want to stop. Heidi and I were talking about that even as we were looking at the new year. Because you're looking at your list of things that you want the new year to look like. And usually it's, oh, I want to stop doing this thing. But it doesn't have to be that. It can actually be a positive thing. Actually, I want to start this new thing. So we can pivot from that. And we all have these things. We all have this, I'd like my life to look like this by the end of the year. I'd like to have added these things to my life or taken these things away from my life as I go along so that I can grow. But usually the question is, well, how do I get there? Like, I have these hopes and dreams, not even for this year, but I have hopes and dreams for farther than that. And the question usually is, okay, so how do I get there? Like, I have this hope, I have this dream, I have these ambitions. How do I get to these places? Well, and our hope as a leadership is that this new series will help us explore some spiritual and some practical ways for us to move forward in our faith journeys. And so this morning, what I'm doing is I'm introducing the series this morning. And what I'd like to do this morning is I just want to bring us to a place where we're beginning that conversation with ourselves. That conversation where we're starting and we're asking ourselves who, what, where, and how is my life journey going to look? We have this conversation with ourselves, and we can have our conversation with Jesus, and it's all about, okay, Jesus, or okay, self, where am I going? And what do I want to accomplish with my life? What do I want to change? Where do I want to grow? What can my faith look like as I keep moving forward? And so here's something that I'd like for you to do for me this morning. I just take your age right now. Think of your age right now. And now imagine, you know those big, shiny birthday balloons that you see people carry around, or you see pictures of people holding up their, hey, I turned 18, and they hold these big, shiny balloons, like those super expensive ones at Canadian Tire. Because I thought about getting one for this today, and I was like, yeah, I'm not dropping $100 for like a balloon. But can you imagine that? Because I think you know what those balloons look like. So I want you to just picture your age just kind of floating as a balloon in front of you right now in shiny pink or gold or whatever it is. I know some of you are picturing that, and there's like a number 8 and a number 1 in whatever order you want. I was really hoping that Doug would be here this morning because I was going to say 120, but he's not. So I hope he's watching online. Doug, I'm saying that you're 120 years old. So can you do that for me? Just picture that. Can you see that? You got the birthday cake and everything, and you got your age just floating there. And now what I want you to do is jump ahead 5 years from today. Can you picture that balloon changing in front of you? Can you picture that? Can you picture your life in 5 years from today? I would say, and I would bet, that it's going to look very different. Your life is going to look very different in 5 years from this morning. Just think about it. Think back about 5 years. 2020, January 2020, 5 years. Do you know what happened January 2020? COVID. the very first case of COVID in Canada, January 25th, 2020. Now, was life a little bit different after that January? Man, oh man, I remember trying to put services together online. All of a sudden, we all became social media experts and video experts, and we were filming sermons in the middle of Royal Roads Woods, and we were trying to edit, and we had Lennon, he's figuring out how to do all this editing, and he was a movie editor all of a sudden with a gaming laptop, and we had to pivot, and all of a sudden we did the ice cream say hello day. And people are driving through our parking lot, and the leadership are out there handing candy, and people are driving through, and we don't know if we should be wearing masks or gloves or... Man, life looked different. 5 years later, here we are. It feels like a lifetime ago that we were going through that stuff. And here we are hugging and shaking hands and sharing food and sitting next to each other, singing without wearing a mask. Life can change. 5 years is a long time for things to change. Some of you might be sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself, yeah, you know what? I kind of like my life right now. I don't want it to change. I hope you're not telling me that my good, comfortable life is going to change, because I'm kind of okay where it is right now. Well, here's what I know about time and life. It keeps moving. And what happens is that movement creates change. You look at the Grand Canyon, and you look at mountains, and you look at landscapes, and what happens is that movement creates change. And that's the truth for our lives as well. And some of that change, it can be expected. Some of that change you've planned for, and you've made some steps for that kind of change in your life. Some of it is super unexpected. You didn't see that change coming in your life. My experience in the fall, as many of you know, I went on my sabbatical over the summer. I got to take this trip out to Spain. I come back, and I'm ready to hit the ground running, and I'm ready to get into my Youth for Christ ministry stuff, and I get sick. I didn't see it coming. Next thing you know, I'm in emergency multiple times. And I'm going through a rough time with my health, trying to figure out how we're going to get through it. And life changed. Even just sitting on the couch was just about enough for me. And life changed for Heidi, and life changed for the kids. All of a sudden, Heidi is super mom. She's already super mom. She was like extra super duper mom. Huh? You like that? Hugging and a kissing. All of a sudden, her life changes. She's trying to go to work. She's driving kids here. She's driving kids there. She's making me. She's a single parent. And I'm sitting on the couch going, I can't get off the couch to help you. Movement changes and creates change. 5 years from now, I'm going to be 56 years old. 56. My in-laws are visiting this week. And now they're sitting there going, oh, we have a son that's 56. Hi-yi-yi, when did that happen? 56, I'll be 56. I'm going to be way closer to retirement than I've ever been in my life. But not close enough. My kids, Lennon's going to be 22 years old. In 5 years. Heidi was 22 years old when we got married. Lennon's going to be 20. He better not be getting married at 22. Judah will be 20 years old. Ruby will be 16. Two young adults and a 16-year-old that probably thinks that she's a young adult. Oh my goodness, please pray for me in 5 years. I'm going to have a 16-year-old daughter. I feel like that's not going to go very easy for me. But my kids in 5 years are going to be very different. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be stronger. They're going to be faster. They're going to be smarter. Me, I'm going to be slower. Let's be honest. I'll just be far slower. Changes will come because time moves on. And my kids will have grown. But the core of who they are will remain. The knitting that God did of their lives will remain. All the good things that Lennon and Ruby and Judah have that God gave them to make them who they are, their core, that will stay. But they'll still have grown. They'll grow deeper in their thinking, in their character, in their faith. My prayer is that their ability to love will grow deeper. So this morning, let's take a look at what Scripture has to say about our lives and time. I want to look at Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And this morning I'm reading out of the Message. But make sure that you don't get absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations, that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work He began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a single minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence and sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about it. Time is precious. And Paul is telling us here, don't waste it. Don't get absorbed and exhausted in that day-to-day stuff, in that right in front of me right now stuff. And some of those things can be important. I mean, we have to get through life. And some of that stuff that's right in front of us, it's important. But Paul's saying, don't let that be the first and the utmost thing in your life. Because a lot of the times, those day-to-day things, those things that are absorb us and make us exhausted, usually those things are just about ourselves. And Paul's saying, that's not what it's about. He's saying, keep your mind and your sight and your plans on what God is doing. And what is God doing? He's putting the finishing touches on the salvation work that He began when we first believed. That's what God is doing all the time, every day. So don't get absorbed in those things that will exhaust you. Indulgence. Bickering, oh my goodness, bickering. Bickering is exhausting. Like I've had a couple conversations this week, and bickering alone, I was like, so are we grown-ups? Or are you like my 14-year-old youth at breakfast club that's arguing with me because I don't have real peanut butter? And I have the fake peanut butter because I don't want anyone to die from a peanut allergy. Don't waste your time on this stuff. Don't waste your time grabbing everything that you see. Again, this week at Breakfast Club, I'm talking to a group of my girls. I call them the Bear Mountain girls. They're lovely, but they live at the top of Bear Mountain. So that gives you an idea of their financial status. And one of the girls, she lives right at the very top. And she's telling me, like, she lives next to the gated community. And I'm like, oh, that's a different tax bracket than me. And we're sitting there talking, and another girl walks by, and she looks over, and she goes, oh, I wish I had her life. Like, look at her outfit. I'm like, you're wearing the same outfit. She's like, yeah, but she has it in gray. I'm like, this is where we're at. Don't waste your time and your energy trying to grab everything that you see, because the world will offer you all kinds of things. It's not just about possessions. What is it that's going to fulfill me? Oh, this might fulfill me. Oh, this other thing might fulfill me. Oh, this over here, and you're chasing, and you're chasing, and you're chasing. And what happens is you end up exhausted. Because those things are just for today. They're here and now. They really don't have any staying power. And they will steal from you. That's what they are. They're time stealers. And we don't want to waste a single minute of our faith journey chasing the things that won't give us life. So get out of bed and get dressed. In what? Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about it. I want to jump back to Romans 13. I want to go back to verses 8 and 10. So just a couple of verses back from where we started, again from the Message. Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along, the law code. Don't sleep with another spouse. Don't take someone's life. Don't take what isn't yours. Don't always be wanting what you don't have. And any other don't that you can think of. It finally adds up to this. Love other people as well as you do yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love. So let's dress ourselves in Jesus. Let's dress ourselves in love. Last fall, we started with a series, and the question that we were asking ourselves here at City Light was, what can City Light look like in 5 years if we let Jesus have his way? So today, and for the next several weeks, the question that we're going to be asking is, what can my life look like in 5 years if I let Jesus have his way? And a great starting point for the conversations that we want to have is recognizing this, that every day we can choose to dress ourselves in Jesus. Every day we can get up and we can choose to be up and about in love. Amen. Thanks. Did you put amen up there, Danny? I knew it. It's the Pentecostal in Danny. I think sometimes when it comes to the new year and we have all our planning for change and we have all our plans for transformation and all our hopes, I think the problem sometimes is this. I think we think too small. Like, most of us, what happens is that we underestimate what we can do in the long term. And we overestimate what we can do in the short term. That's really one of our problems. We look at that short period of time and we think to ourselves, man, I think I can do this much. But our concept of time sometimes is askew. And what happens is that we try and cram everything that's life-changing into a short term. And what happens with that is that we become overwhelmed. And we become over-absorbed and we get exhausted. Sometimes we're underprepared and undermanned. And what happens is that we don't finish well. Or we don't finish at all. So I took my trip in the fall. I took my trip to Spain. I went to do part of the Camino walk with my dad. And one of the things I noticed as we were doing our walk is that you had some folks on that walk that were like speed walking. Their heads were down and they weren't looking and they were just moving. And you, like, they would truck past you and they were just, we actually had a few people that actually were running it. I thought, you're crazy. it's 17 kilometers today. You're going to run all of this? And they would just burn past you, and you'd have to jump out of the way, and you'd have people, they didn't look, they didn't say they didn't say hello, or they didn't say buen camino, which is what you're supposed to say, none of this. Just, that's my goal, that's where I'm going. And that's it. What happened to those folks is that we ran into them at the next stop, like at the next town. We would run into some of these folks at the hostels that we were staying at. And they were completely exhausted. They were laying in their beds and they were sleeping. Because they had just put so much into this one thing. They didn't see any of the town that we were staying in. Because they were too exhausted to move. They missed out on the beauty of the countryside that we did just walk through. And there was beautiful moments and beautiful places and buildings and towns and churches. They missed out on all the cool and quirky little roadside stands, the cafes. They missed out on the opportunity. Let's go. I love it. He can run up and down all day. I could care less. I love it. If we could have more kids running up and down, oh, man, I'd be in heaven. Right? These folks, they missed out on the opportunity to meet other people and hear their stories. Why they were doing the Camino, what had brought them to this, where they were from, all of that stuff that matters. They missed it. They missed out on life. And then what we do is we look at a long period and we underestimate what we can actually accomplish if we just stick with it. So for me, that first stage was a 17-kilometer stage that we were going to walk. And this one was lots of climbing and lots of downhill and lots of, it wasn't a good path. Like, it was rough going. And so we're walking this thing, and I'm feeling pretty good because I've trained for it, and I was feeling pretty ready for this. And about halfway through, I stepped the wrong way, and I hurt my knee. And I know I'm in trouble. Like, I already know. And I'm only halfway, and I've got my walking poles, and I can tell every time we're going downhill, even if it's just a little bit, I can feel it in my knee. I could hardly walk. I can hardly step. And I start thinking, I'm never going to be able to finish this. It's literally our first day walking. My 74-year-old dad, who I thought was going to have trouble, is not having trouble. My younger sister, who did not train at all, is not having trouble. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't finish this. We're here for like 10 days. We're going to walk 120 kilometers. I've walked like 9. For the next 2 stages, I had to take a bus and a taxi to the next town. And I was discouraged, and I was sad, and I was angry. But on that 4th stage, I walked. And by the time we got into Santiago de Compostela, which is the final stage, I felt stronger than I ever had. Because I was able to keep going. So today, we don't want to say, new year, new me. What I want us to say and what I want for us is to be able to look farther. Farther down the road. I want us to see a bigger picture of how we're involved in the kingdom plan. I want us to see a deeper picture of our faith journey as we walk with Jesus. There's a lot of things that we can accomplish in 5 years. As individuals, as a church, you could learn a whole new language in 5 years. Like a whole new language. That would be amazing. You could go get a degree in 5 years. I don't want to. I don't want a degree. But you could, as you work on your degree, in 5 years, I'm not interested. But go for it. You could master a whole new skill. You could become a plumber. Or an electrician in 5 years. You could become an expert skydiver in 5 years. You could be jumping out of planes, Carlos, in one of those crazy squirrel suits and zipping across the sky working for Red Bull. You could be doing that in 5 years. If you do, that's amazing. You could read 60 books in 5 years. That doesn't sound like a lot, especially to people who are readers. But here's the thing about it. If you read only an average of 5 minutes a day, you would read 60 books, 5 minutes a day. You could start reading like the sci-fi books that I always talk about up here. Like, start reading the ones about the robots. Trust me, you're going to love them. They're the best books. Anything with a robot in it, I'm in. Or this. You could radically transform your soul, growing closer to God than ever before. Think about this. Jesus' ministry time was for 3 years. You got five. What if you gave over the next 5 years of your life to seeking his face? I don't know about you, but for me, that's a pretty profound thought when I start to kind of chew on it. Dedicating time to spiritual growth and seeking a deeper connection with God will be a transformative journey for you. I guarantee it. It will bring a sense of purpose, it will bring peace, and it will bring fulfillment. When we go through prayer and meditation and scripture reading, if we engage in acts of kindness and service, if we dress in love, then we are moving along in our faith journey. There are so many ways for us to nurture our souls so that we can grow closer to God. So as we begin this series, we're going to start with these two truths. Time, it's not on our side. It's moving, and it's not waiting for us. It's the truth. In 5 years, some of us won't be here anymore. We'll be singing with the saints. And that's the truth. The second truth is this. Every day, we can choose to dress in Jesus and make the very best of the time that we have. Amen?